John, would you come and read to us, please?
The reading is from Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 1. John the Baptist prepares the way. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased."
Been thinking of a way to hide the fact that I've missed out a reading. I have no excuse. It's, yes, from the message about the story of the conception of John the Baptist and of Jesus. During the rule of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest assigned to service in the regiment of Abijah. His name was Zechariah. His wife was descended from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Together they lived honorably before God, careful in keeping to the ways of the commandments, enjoying a clear conscience before God. They were childless because Elizabeth could never conceive, and now they were quite old. It so happened that as Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties before God, working the shift assigned to his regiment, it came his one turn in life to enter the sanctuary of God and burn incense. The congregation was gathered and praying outside the temple at the hour of the incense offering. Unannounced, an angel of the Lord appeared just to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was paralyzed in fear. But the angel of the Lord assured him, "Do not fear, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. You are to name him John. You're going to leap like a gazelle for joy. Not only you, many will delight in his birth. He'll achieve great stature with God. He'll drink neither wine nor beer. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. He will turn many sons and daughters of Israel back to their God. He will herald God's arrival in the style and strength of Elijah, soften the hearts of parents and children, and kindle devout understanding amongst hardened skeptics. He'll get the people ready for God. Zechariah said to the angel, "Do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man and my wife is an old woman." I bet she appreciated that. But the angel said, "I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent specially to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true, on time, God's time." Meanwhile, the congregation waiting for Zechariah was getting restless, wondering what was keeping him so long in the sanctuary. When he came out and couldn't speak, they knew he'd had seen a vision. He continued speechless and had to use sign language with the people. When the course of his priestly assignment was completed, he went back home. It wasn't long before his wife Elizabeth conceived. She went off by herself for 5 months, relishing her pregnancy. So this is how God acts to remedy my unfortunate condition, she said. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name, Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you." She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom." Mary said to the angel, "But how? I've never slept with a man." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you will bring to birth will be called Holy Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, but here she is in her 6 months pregnant. Nothing you see is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be so with me, just as you say." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. God of faithfulness and truth, you sent your servant John the Baptist to preach in the desert and to summon the people to repentance. Make us and all things new, that in the wilderness of our hearts we may prepare a way over which your son may walk. God, our deliverer, whose approaching birth still shakes the foundations of our world, may we so wait for your coming with eagerness and hope that we embrace without terror the labor pangs of the new age through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm sure we all love surprises. Sometimes we end up with surprises that we didn't expect. I remember once my mum bought me a jumper that was salmon pink and a shirt that was salmon pink as well. I opened it and said, "Oh." She wasn't very impressed, I have to say. But sometimes surprises are good, sometimes not so good. But this is a surprise indeed. The Messiah was about to appear. We read in the first verse of that reading, in the time of Herod. And in the time of Herod, it was a dark day for the people of Israel. The people had heard no prophetic word from God for 400 years, not since Malachi had promised the coming of Elijah. But no matter how dark the day, God has his devoted and obedient people. So it doesn't matter how dark it gets for us. we can rest in the promise of God that good things are coming in this life or in the next. Like prayer that Linda led us in this morning, reminding us that good things are coming for those who wait. The third thing I want to say is that into this temple, into this amazing situation that we have of Zechariah standing before the Lord, God chooses the unlikely. Israel was an unlikely nation. They weren't the largest. They weren't the richest. They weren't the best. There were many nations that God could have chosen that were better and more equipped to be his people. They were slaves. The disciples were an unlikely lot. One of the pairs of disciples were called the Sons of Thunder. You don't get that name from being meek and mild. They were fishermen, rough men, men that were used to hard work and hard, what's the word I'm looking for? Huh? Hard living, thank you. Used to hard living. And one of them was a collaborator with the Roman army. He was a tax collector and would have done what the Romans had told them to do. And Paul, the last of the apostles, the last of the disciples, was a murderer. God delights in choosing the unlikely. We read in verse 6 of that verse, of that passage, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. They were good people. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. So Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." He was unlikely to be the father of the prophet to be announcing the coming of the Savior. There seemed to be no hope, people of no significance, yet faithful in quietness. You know, the name Zechariah means literally Jehovah has remembered. And Elizabeth literally means God is my oath. They were both very devoted to God and very devoted to his ways. Each priest served in the temple 2 weeks out of every year. The priests on duty drew lots to see which ministries they would perform, and Zacharias was chosen to offer incense in the holy place. This was a high honor and permitted to a priest once in a lifetime. Can you imagine that responsibility? To go into the holiest of holies where no man was meant to go and to light the incense within. The incense was offered daily before the morning sacrifice and after the evening sacrifice about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was probably the evening offering that was assigned to Zacharias. In spite of his godliness and around them, Zacharias and Elizabeth were faithful to obey the word of God and live blamelessly. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to serve God in ways they hadn't even thought of. And there's a challenge for us, to have imagination how we might serve God. We may not think that God wants to use us, or we may think that we're beyond God's use, but if we look at Zechariah and look at Elizabeth, we see that God uses the unlikely. And it's the way that God works with us. Notice how Zechariah is going about his daily tasks when he's chosen to do this thing. He's called to service. Moses, Elijah, Amos, Gideon. Examples where men were going about their everyday task and God calls them to new action. A sailing ship can't steer without wind. And so often we are asked to do for God when we're already in motion doing something else. We are the unlikely today. Our age, we may think, disqualifies us. We may think that we have no power, no significance, no ability, no education, that we're just not needed. But what is needed? According to this passage, faithfulness is essential. God needs not just our abilities, but our availability. We are the unlikely. Then God works in the unbelievable. The voice of God, as I said, had been quiet for 400 years, not since Malachi promised the coming of Elijah. The spiritual leaders were shackled by tradition, and in some instances, corruption, and their king, Herod the Great, was a tyrant. You know, he had 9, probably 10 sons. God walks. It's a Chinese version. God works in the unbelievable. He had 9, some say 10 wives, some of whom he had executed for no apparent reason, not sons, but wives. No matter how dark the day, God always has his devoted and obedient people. And you and I are that people, the unbelievable. Zechariah in the holiest of holies, the people assembled outside praying, and suddenly an angel appears before Zechariah. Now Luke mentions angels 23 times in his gospel. There are innumerable angels, only 2 of which are actually named in scripture, Michael and Gabriel. When Gabriel appears at the altar, Zacharias was frightened, for the angel's appearance could have meant divine judgment. And when an angel appears, it seems in scripture, it says again and again, do not be afraid. Why do angels say that when they appear? They must be scary. They're not little cherubs with rosy cheeks and wings playing little harps. They're mighty warriors clothed in light. And he says to Zechariah, you're going to have a child. And then God works it out so he can't tell people what had happened. We read in verse 22, he came out, could not speak to them. He realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. Seems to me that when we tell people about our relationship with God, they too may find it unbelievable to say that we tell people who have no idea about Christianity that we've found forgiveness. We've found peace, joy, salvation. That we have a relationship with Jesus. Surely that's unbelievable. And until they try it for themselves, they won't understand. It will remain unbelievable. A relationship with a man who was God, or who is God, 2,000 years ago, who died and rose again, who speaks through the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We are the unbelievable. Then God does the unexpected. I think that's spelt right this time. But the angel of the Lord said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a great joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God did the unexpected in that God answered their prayers and gave them not a priest, but a prophet. And not only an ordinary prophet, but the one who would herald the coming king, the saviour, the last of the prophets, the first prophetic verse heard for 400 years. And that's our job, to do the unexpected, to be proclaimers of Jesus, to announce the coming of Jesus. We love when the world hates. We forgive when the world wants revenge. We trust in Jesus when the world will not believe. It's not easy. It takes willpower and determination. But nobody ever said being a Christian was easy. You would think the presence of the angel and the announcement of God's word would encourage Zechariah's faith. But it did not. Instead of looking to God by faith, the priest looks at himself and his wife and decides the birth of a son was impossible. And I wonder, is there times when you too have that situation where God is saying something and you say, oh, it's not possible. It's not going to happen. He wanted some assurance beyond the plain word of Gabriel, God's messenger, perhaps a sign from God. But we too are called to be doing the unexpected every day of our lives because we are the unexpected. And then God's results are undeniable. God's results are undeniable. I read recently of a PhD student who put his PhD down to disproving Christianity. He looked into all the evidence and became a Christian because he was convinced of Jesus' life and his resurrection. He found the evidence undeniable. And we believe because we have seen, but not because we have seen, but because of faith in Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper times. When his time with service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace amongst the people. And Jeremiah 32 verse 17, some hundreds of years before, says, our Lord, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. We have a saying, don't we? A leopard can't change its spots. And a human can't change its nature. Yes, they can. Because Jesus is the one who is in the business of changing lives. And he did so with Zechariah and with Elizabeth. And we too are witnesses to change lives. Examples of changed lives. We are witnesses to the power of change. We witness every time somebody stands up to be baptized to say, God has changed my life. Helped us to be new persons, born again followers of Jesus. You and I proclaim that same truth. We are the undeniable. So in conclusion from this, we are the unlikely, we are the unbelievable, we are the unexpected, we are the undeniable because of what Jesus has done in our lives. Let's pray together. Loving God, we rejoice in this season of good news and goodwill. We celebrate once more the birth of your Son, the Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the Word made flesh. And we praise you for the assurance of his final triumph. For your coming through him and promise to come again. Lord, we worship you. We rejoice at your coming among us through Jesus, bearing our flesh and blood, living our life and sharing our humanity, entering our world and walking our earth. For your coming through him and promise to come again. Lord, we worship you. But also, Lord, we strangely rejoice at your suffering and dying amongst us, your victory over death, your triumph over evil, your winning over illness and sickness, and promise that the kingdom will come. For your coming through him and our promise to come again, Lord, we worship you. We rejoice at the wonder of the season, the message of love and forgiveness, its promise of peace and justice, and the gift of life everlasting of which it speaks. For your coming through him and your promise to come again, Lord, we worship you. Loving God, we rejoice again in the season of good news and goodwill, and we look forward to that day when Jesus of Bethlehem will come again and be the Lord of all. For your coming through him and your promise to come again through him. Lord, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.